DW Africa Link.
It is Monday, the 18th of November, 2019. Hello and welcome to Africa Link, the show that gives you all the updates from Africa and beyond. I am Mimi Mefo.
And I am Michael Oti. We are coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany, as well as all our partner radio stations across Africa.
Coming up on the program, trial of soldiers accused of killing women and children in Cameroon's far north region has again been adjourned. We hear from a security analyst who questions the fairness of the military court in Cameroon.
I think there's been greater concerns regarding the military tribunals which have been established as a means of kind of garnering justice, but also specifically those of government critics.
Also on this show, residents of the Ethiopian Sidama zone are bracing to vote in a referendum that might determine their autonomy. But what does this mean for them?
I am ready to vote. I hope that everything will be finalized in peace so that we can all live together with others in harmony.
These stories plus more would be coming up in a bit.
Yes, indeed. But first, the news in brief.
DW News.
This is DW News with me, Zipporah Nyambura. U.S. President Donald Trump has said he might testify in the impeachment inquiry over his dealings with Ukraine. Democrats leading the process have not formally called Trump as a witness, despite a suggestion by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi over the weekend. The Democrat-led inquiry wants to establish if Trump withheld aid to Ukraine in return for an inquiry into former Vice President Joe Biden, which Trump has dismissed as a witch hunt. The European Commission has condemned violence in response to the escalating anti-government protests in Hong Kong. Police fired rubber bullets and tear gas and arrested several protesters holed up for 2 days at the Hong Kong Polytechnic University. China says external interference, mainly from the US and the UK, is to blame for the escalating situation. Liu Xiaoming is the Chinese ambassador to the UK.
Some Western countries have publicly supported extreme violent offenders. When the British government criticised the Hong Kong police, criticised the Hong Kong government in handling the situation, they are interfering into China's internal affairs. They look like they are balanced, but as a matter of fact, they are taking side. That's our position.
Elsewhere, Human Rights Watch says deadly crackdown by Sudanese security forces against protesters last June may have amounted to crime against humanity. The US-based watchdog accused military rulers of carrying out abuses ranging from rape, stabbing, and beating protesters. It now wants Sudan's new transitional government to carry out transparent and independent investigation into the events. Germany has called on Iran to respect legitimate protests following deadly demonstrations due to a hike in fuel prices. Nearly 200 people have been arrested and 2 killed since the demonstrations started on Friday. German's government spokesperson Ulrike Demme told Iranian government to allow its citizens to express their rights.
From the point of view of the federal government, it is legitimate and deserves our respect when people courageously present their economic and political concerns in public, as is currently happening in Iran. In our view, the Iranian government should respond to the current protests with a willingness to engage in dialogue.
In Nigeria, the ruling party, All Progressive Congress, APC, has won the key oil-rich state of Bayelsa following the weekend elections, the electoral body announced today. 45 candidates contested the gubernatorial elections, which were marred by sporadic violence, including killings, abductions, vote-buying, and voters' intimidation. Bayelsa has been ruled by the opposition People's Democratic Party since Nigeria returned to civilian rule in 1999. Finally, embattled South African Airways has said it would resume flights to six African destinations but cancel some domestic flights in the next 2 days as the ongoing strike over wages entered its fourth day. The strike has cast doubt on the survival of the airline, which has not turned a profit since 2011 and is reliant on state bailouts. For more news and information, visit our homepage, dw.com.
And once more, you are listening to Africa Link. We are live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I am Mimi Mefu.
And I am Michael Oti. We are also live on Facebook. DW Africa is the page. And already I see that a number of you are on that page commenting. Ben Humble says that he is listening to us, and Prosperity J, as well as Monju Iranios, says that he's listening from Bamenda in Cameroon. So go on to our Facebook page and leave your comments there.
Mimi. And we would obviously be reading your comments. And we are beginning right away, Michael Oti,
yes.
Cameroon.
We start from Cameroon, where you're from, Mimi. The trial of seven soldiers who have been accused of killing women and children in the far north region of that country has been adjourned to the 5th of December.
And it was in 2018 when a video showing how soldiers suspected of summarily killing two women and their children was distributed on the internet, provoking widespread outrage. Before this program, I spoke to Ryan Cummings, a security analyst who has been monitoring the Boko Haram insurgency in the far north region of Cameroon and in Nigeria. Take a listen.
The trial is part of President Paul Biya's administration to finally provide some form of accountability. Continuous accusations by various human rights organizations, by even the Cameroon citizenry themselves, that the military, in conducting a lot of their counterterrorism operations in Cameroon, have been committing abuses, some of which, as we know, is the case with this incident, has actually been caught on camera.
And also the fact that it's been held in camera has been a major preoccupation to so many people in Cameroon and even out of the country. Do you think that this could possibly jeopardize the fairness of this trial?
Well, I think maybe not speaking to this trial specifically, I think there's been greater concerns regarding the military tribunals which have been established as a means of kind of garnering justice, not only for, you know, incidents where members of the Cameroonian military are being prosecuted for alleged crimes, but also specifically those of government critics.
You have been monitoring the Boko Haram insurgency in the far north region of Cameroon and also in Nigeria. How severe is terrorism threat in the Lake Chad Basin?
Well, I think the key issue is that, you know, the Boko Haram insurgency, you know, in this or the Lake Chad region, I guess is the best way to describe it geographically, is a threat that's not going away despite claims by government, specifically that of Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari, as has stated on various occasions, you know, that the Boko Haram extremist group has been technically defeated. Information on the ground, the frequency of attacks that we see, suggestions that the group may again be reclaiming some territory, both in Nigeria but also the wider Lake Chad Basin, certainly is not suggestive of an insurgency that is in any way on the decline or is in any way being defeated. And I think that the key issue for the Nigerian government, the Cameroonian government, also those of Niger and Chad, is that there firstly needs to be an admission that this is a threat that is still there, that may be evolving, and there needs to be some political will by all governments involved to address the threat in a manner that also ensures that, you know, you're not seeing significant civilian casualties, and that not only the symptoms of the insurgency are being addressed, but also their root causes.
That was Ryan Cummings, a security analyst who has been monitoring the Boko Haram insurgency in West Africa. Michael Oti, it was a hot topic on our Facebook page, but we certainly might be coming back to the reactions.
Yes, indeed. Whenever Boko Haram is mentioned, there is a lot of reaction to it. And so we definitely will be bringing you some comments on this particular story, Mimi.
We put your comments together, but we would be coming back to that later. A little bit out of the African continent, the state of conflict on the streets of Hong Kong is escalating after almost 6 months of protest. The police surrounded the university where the protesters gathered Monday.
With fears that the violence will not end anytime soon, international students are now complaining about the toll of the uprising on their studies. DW's Josie Mahachi has more.
Earlier on Monday, the Hong Kong police managed to break through the front line of protesters with the use of rubber bullets and water cannons, since the use of tear gas not yielded any positive outcome. The persisting protest in the Asian financial hub has posed the gravest popular challenge to Chinese President Xi Jinping since he came to power in 2012. An international student on the streets of Hong Kong says classes have been disrupted.
On Friday, after our classes were cancelled for the rest of the semester, our home uni got in contact and asked us to start contacting travel insurance and arranging to get out of Hong Kong. And then this morning I woke up to a message saying they want us out as soon as possible and that we need to make it happen in a matter of days.
On Monday, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Geng Shuang described the escalating violence as unjustified.
Regarding certain people's attacks and smears on Hong Kong, here I can say Hong Kong is part of China. Its affairs are purely China's. We firmly oppose any foreign government, organization, or individual who interferes with Hong Kong's affairs. No one should underestimate China's people's determination and will to safeguard the country's sovereignty and Hong Kong's stability.
Demonstrators are angry at what they describe as Chinese meddling in Hong Kong's promised freedoms.
That is DW's Josie Mahachi there reporting. Now, on Monday, November 20th, residents of the Ethiopian Zidama Zone are set to vote in a referendum to decide if they want to become the country's 10th semi-autonomous state. The fifth biggest ethnic group in Ethiopia has been campaigning for decades to achieve regional independence.
Pro-Zidama activists say this will restore the pride and identity of the people, but opposition parties in the community fear that achieving this must be done with strict respect of the constitution. Here's a report by Asunta Latos.
I am ready to vote. I hope that everything will be finalized in peace so that we can all live together with others in harmony.
That is Mayet Beyena in Ethiopia's city of Hawassa. On Wednesday, she will cast the first ballot of her life in a referendum set to determine if her ethnic group, the Zidamas, will have their own semi-autonomous state, as November 20th set aside for the holding of the referendum to decide on self-determination of the ethnic Zidamas community approaches. There is excitement among Eyetos, who are the youth in Zidama. Emias Tesfaye, a Zidama activist, explains what this means for him and his people.
I can't express my feeling, and because we sacrificed a lot of lives. We do have a lot of resources, though economically marginalized from the central politics. My hope is that just we be prosper.
With about 4 million residents, Zidama is home to over 40 ethnic groups. For decades, the Zidamas, Ethiopia's fifth most numerous ethnicity, have been longing for regional independence, a right enshrined in the constitution. But years of autocratic rule have failed to fulfill this provision. A female Eyeto explains how the current dispensation has been instrumental to their freedom.
Before the Prime Minister came to power, when we asked for freedom, this was met with suffering. We were beaten, we were put to jail. Now we have the freedom to speak openly. This creates better conditions for all Ethiopians.
There are persisting doubts, partly due to misinformation regarding the process of creating a new region. The status of Hawassa, the current capital of Southern Nations, Nationalities and People, SNNPR, set to become the capital of the new region, has also been another source of worry. Zidama Liberation Movement, SLM, the main opposition party in SNNPR, is planning ahead, as Desalegn Mesa, head of its public relations, says.
We expect to establish strong regional state, which can be represented in Ethiopian Republic.
Final results of the referendum will be announced on November 27th.
That report was by Asunta Latos.
And on our Facebook page, a lot of you have been reacting there. We have this reaction from Ibrahim Abubakar, who says the lack of political and democratic representation is the key to all of this. On the other hand, some of the regional leaders are not being represented.
And Uche Odiolora says that much anticipated and long overdue, Nigeria's own is loading soon. In case you're just joining us, welcome to Africa Link, coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany.
I am Mimi Mefo. This program is streaming live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Michael, we are also calling on our listeners. There are hundreds of them there on Facebook to join us. Do drop your comments. We would certainly be reading your comments in the course of this program. I can already see Zongo Rene. Thank you so much for joining. And Wilson Nanjembe is also there. He's saying that if truth cannot be used, let's even take facts.
Indeed, indeed, Mimi there. And coming up in the next 15 minutes, residents of Democratic Republic of Congo embrace new vaccine that is going to help in the fight against Ebola.
What brought me here was having seen my friends die from Ebola. I had to protect myself so that I don't also fall victim and be among the ones who die.
Before we talk about Ebola virus, the International Development Association, the IDA of the World Bank, is hoping to raise $82 billion for sub-Saharan Africa. This comes at a time when China appears to be the preferred lender for many African countries. Michael, can you imagine that?
Yeah, and $82 billion is a lot of money. And this year, the effort to raise money is led by Liberia's former finance minister, Antoinette Saye. And she says that she's hoping that this will go into many sectors to help Africans. She has been speaking to my colleague Daniel Peltz here in Berlin. They begin by talking about the sort of help that is offered by the IDA.
IDA, of course, supports the poorest and most fragile countries across the world with the objective of reducing extreme poverty and increasing shared prosperity around the world. And we support 75 countries that are IDA recipients. And as you know, much of that poverty these days is concentrated in sub-Saharan Africa. And so certainly Africa is the key focus of the replenishment. And in IDA 18, IDA was consuming, Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, is consuming three quarters of the resources. And we expect that to be similar under IDA 19.
There are many new players in Africa. You have China, you have Russia, for instance. And when you talk to African governments, you often hear this notion, oh, we like to get our loans from China. It's very easy. It's very quick way to get money. Why is there still need for players like IDA to be around as well?
Yeah, just to say that China is not as new as sometimes you hear it described as. It's had relationships with some African countries as early back as just after independence, Tanzania, for example. But China is a very present partner, as are some private lenders in sub-Saharan Africa these days. But the financing needs of the region are so huge, and the specific comparative advantage of IDA is so significant in addressing the challenges that countries face, that IDA is very much still in very high demand from countries themselves when you talk to them about what they want. IDA has been a very strong deliverer of outcomes and results in countries as a country-driven model used in IDA that has been very much appreciated and that cannot be substituted for by either the private sector or by bilateral donors by themselves.
On the other hand, IDA is also giving loans to African countries, as are players like China or Russia, for example. And now experts are saying there are so many loans now flowing to Africa, there's even risk of the country sliding into a new debt crisis. How is that impacting on your work?
Well, IDA gives both loans and grants to the poorest countries. And IDA, of course, has been very, very much focused on looking at the issue of debt vulnerabilities because near half of IDA country recipients are now countries at high risk of debt distress or in debt distress, meaning that they're in debt distress and not able to service their loans. And the focus on that issue has been a key one in this replenishment with the view to helping countries manage their debt better.
And that was DW correspondent Daniel Peltz speaking with Antoinette Saye in Berlin.
Health check.
On Health Check, we turn our attention to the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. There is optimism that the Ebola disease will be eradicated in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo by the end of this year.
This follows the introduction of a new vaccine to tackle the epidemic. Residents turned out to tackle the deadly virus, which has killed at least 2,000 people in the region. Here is a report by Shola Jaisimi.
At a health center in Goma, a major town in Ituri province of the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, health workers are busy taking down the information and collecting letters of consent from those who want to take the vaccine. Joseph Munihire is among dozens who turned out.
I came to get the vaccination because I used to come often to ask when they would start providing us with vaccinations. Today, I have not been vaccinated.
Another person who showed up at the center is Joshua Membere.
I came with a friend of mine. What brought me here was having seen my friends die from Ebola. What I took away from this was that more and more people are falling victim to Ebola. I had to protect myself so that I don't also fall victim and be among the ones who die.
The new vaccine to be taken 8 weeks apart has passed clinical trials but has never been tested in a real-world setting. 50,000 people in this town, which lies on the Rwandan border, will be administered the vaccine. Veronique Urbaniak is the Médecins Sans Frontières coordinator in the region.
Most people are eligible for this vaccination. They have to be a year or older and not have a chronic illness. Those who have survived Ebola are not eligible because they are already protected.
The Ebola situation in the DRC was also on the agenda when German Chancellor Angela Merkel hosted Congolese President Felix Tshisekedi. President Tshisekedi thinks that the vaccination is good news to the people of the DRC.
Alors, par rapport à Ebola,
Germany's role was decisive because Germany came to help the Democratic Republic of Congo and contributed towards helping us bring down the disease. It's a fact today that the disease is on the retreat and it continues to be on the retreat until its eradication.
Continue d'ailleurs de reculer jusqu'à son éradication.
The epidemic in the DRC was declared in August 2018. Nearly 2,200 people are dead from the hemorrhagic virus, making it the second worst outbreak of the virus on record behind the 2013 to 2016 West African outbreak that killed more than 11,000 people. But public mistrust and armed conflict in eastern Congo hampered the response, with the journalists doing advocacy even killed.
That report was by Shola Jaisimi. And Mimi, there is a lot of conversation on this particular topic, isn't there?
Obviously, you know, so many African countries have been affected by the Ebola virus. We have countries like Guinea, the Democratic Republic of Congo. The major problem is how to eradicate Ebola. And when we see a vaccine being introduced, and there's certainly hope that it can finally tackle the epidemic, is like some sort of hope to inhabitants of the country which has been affected.
Yes, so tell us on our Facebook page what you think about this. Do you think this is the right way? Is this going to help? And we'll read your comments when we have time.
Make your voice count. Join DW Africa on Facebook and comment on the stories there. You could get a mention on Africa Link, which broadcasts live on Facebook. That's DW Africa.
You're live on DW Africa Link, and we are going to talk sports, Mimi.
Sports, of course, we would be talking about it in a moment.
Talking sports.
Like you heard, we are talking sports now. Michael Cristiano Ronaldo is in the news again. This weekend, he scored his 99th career goal for Portugal.
Indeed, it is quite remarkable for somebody at that age, 34 years, and he doesn't seem to be slowing down. He is within reach of becoming the highest international goal scorer of all time. Currently, there is only one man who stands between him and that record. So it's quite impressive the things that he's been able to achieve.
Certainly.
Yes. And all of this has been happening in the context of the Euro 2020 tournament. A lot of matches were played over the weekend, and I have been speaking to DW's Chuck Penfold about the Euros and then other issues related to the field.
I think he's the kind of player that if I really needed to win a game, I'd like to have him on my side before anybody else. Yeah, obviously a fabulous achievement. You look at him, you know, his goal production, you know, I think about the Champions League last season. He's just, he's a huge, massively strong physical specimen. So, yeah, he's been a massive player, obviously, and will be for, probably for another couple of years to come.
And all of this is happening in the context of the Euros 2020. A lot of matches were played over the weekend. First of all, who are your favourites?
That's a good question. 16 teams have already been qualified. I think maybe you've got to say France because they are the world champions. It's only 2 years on from that. Definitely they're looking to sort of add a European title to a world title. And they're also, you know, got a lot of young players, so there's no reason for me to think that they couldn't.
During the German game, most of the seats in the stadium were quite empty, and fans have been complaining about high ticket prices. What exactly is the problem?
Yeah, that's an issue we've sort of been looking at almost every time Germany plays at home for the last at least year or so, maybe a couple of years. The question is as to what the actual problem is. I think it's a bit... There's no one answer, basically. Actually, in the press conference today, the press guy from the DFB, the German Football Association, was saying, look, there's tickets as cheap as 10 euros for tomorrow night's game against Frankfurt. Having said that, that's for kids. So there are some cheaper seats. The question is how many are there? I think for adults, the cheapest are 25 euros. So there are some affordable seats available. As again, how many there are is another question, but they also go up to 80 euros.
On Sunday, referees at a local level here in Germany decided to suspend the games they were going to officiate because of violence in the sport. How big of a problem is violence in football?
It's a problem that I remember us talking about when I was at the Frankfurt Allgemeine 20 years ago in local leagues around Frankfurt. It's not a new problem, but it does seem to be getting worse. The officials, their association, put a statement out on Facebook in German where they talked. They listed off a whole long list of incidents with referees being verbally attacked, spat on. In one case, a guy had a bottle thrown at him that just missed. One guy got chased around the pitch after a call or after a game and got beaten so that he had to go to hospital for his injuries. So it seems to be getting worse.
So that was me and Chuck Penford, DW Sports, talking about the issues that happened over the weekend during the Euros 2020, Mimi.
On our Facebook page, we equally talked about this very interesting story from Nigeria, where the ruling party on Monday won the key oil-rich state of Bayelsa. The electoral body said, or won the key, that was the key election in Bayelsa state, of course. 45 candidates had taken part in the gubernatorial election that was on Saturday, which was marked by sporadic gunshots, including killings and abductions.
And on this particular issue, Indo Teim says that he is fast learning the art of absolute power in all spheres of government. And from his big brother in Cameroon. And here he's talking about Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari.
And Michael Ayandi says that the world is in a disaster and journalism has contributed to its destruction. We don't know what you mean by that, but we at Dutch Welle, we are giving the platform for everybody to give their opinions. For such a one-time media page of credit to carry out, but well, like I said, Dutch Welle has been doing quite a credible job to give everybody the voice.
Indeed, we are providing a lot of platform for people within these areas. So if you have any genuine concerns that you feel like you want to air, Deutsche Welle is always available for you to air these concerns. And Presido Okuguni says that the Nigerian government has supposedly drafted over 50,000 pleas to both of these states where the elections were held. And this is what Presido Okuguni says. We cannot independently verify these claims, but these are your comments.
Kenneth Joseph is actually also confirming what is happening. He says that you said it was marked by sporadic gunshots and adoptions, votes buying, snatching of voting materials. That is what actually happened. Keep your comments flowing. We thank you so much for all your reactions. I am Mimi Mefo.
And I am Michael Oti. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
DW. Made for Minds.